The news we made today was releasing our greenhouse gas reporting guidance, which is important because the executive order that the president signed last year for the first time set a greenhouse gas emission reduction goal for the federal government, which is 28% by 2020. And to achieve that, we need to know what we're doing now and to show improvement. So it was important to develop this tool for agencies to use so that they can measure and report their greenhouse gas emissions. And they thought it made sense to sort of do it government-wide. And obviously, agencies will apply it, and their first report is due in January. So hopefully this gives them enough time to get everything set. But it builds on good work that's been done outside of the government, and also things that the federal government's learned about how you measure greenhouse gas emissions.
Obviously, this is a new effort by the government, but greenhouse gas emissions is something people have been paying attention to for quite some time. Do we have a baseline or any even estimated baseline for the government about what the greenhouse gas emissions are?
We have some sense of what they are, and it is just an estimate. So this tool will help us to get a sort of a more accurate reading and also look agency by agency. So agencies can figure out where the best opportunities for them to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions are. So they've also submitted sustainability plans. Those are available publicly. You can find them. So this is it's both a good tool for agencies to use to figure out what they need to do and to measure their progress, but also for the public to understand what the federal government is doing.
The guidance obviously has given agencies some ways to go measure it. You use the word tool. When you think of tool, you think of a piece of software. You think of something to put data into and get analysis out of. Are you talking in that sense, or are you talking more of a tool as in the guidance as a tool?
I think more of the guidance as a tool. I think there are a lot of different ways that people have thought to measure greenhouse gas emissions, a protocol. But some things about the federal government and the way the federal government operates that are pretty specific to the federal government. So we thought it was important to build on work that's been already done, but to kind of make tailor it for the federal government.
Can you just talk briefly maybe what are the biggest challenges to measuring those greenhouse gases that a lot of agencies maybe will face? I know each agency is different, but just generally, what are you seeing? What are you hearing from agencies around that, those challenges?
Well, I think it's just that, the sort of how do you take the mission of very different missions of agencies and quantify the greenhouse gas emissions associated with them. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge, but we also see, you know, great enthusiasm for understanding greenhouse gas emissions and reducing them, the agencies reducing them. And really, I think the biggest, you know, the most important thing is that this connection to mission, so trying to understand sort of the environmental impacts of an agency's mission.
You guys made other big news yesterday as well, Tuesday, about the White House decision to put some solar panels as well as a solar hot water heater on the roof of the residence. Talk about that decision. Obviously, the Council for Environmental Quality probably played a little bit of a role in that.
You know, it's something we've been working on for a long time. It has both a symbolic, just a way of showing leadership on the part of the federal government, probably the most famous house certainly in the U.S. and maybe in the world. But, of course, because of the historic nature of the building, some of the security issues, I think it's probably more complicated than the average homeowner would find, more complications than the average homeowner would find to put solar panels on. But we're very excited to move forward with this.
A lot of discussion around putting solar panels in the White House. Can you talk a little bit about what was the hesitation, what was the concern, what was the discussion? Because a lot of people say, well, what took so long? But on the other hand, it's only been less than 2 years since the president's been in the White House, and decisions obviously have to go through different channels. There's the National Park Service in terms of the historical nature of the building. Can you give us some sense of, in terms of how the decision was made?
I think that we've been working on this for a long time. I think they shouldn't come as a surprise to your listeners that doing something on the actual White House is complicated, and certainly it is a historic building. It is a building with tremendous security needs. It's a very visible symbol of our nation. So it takes a lot, and a lot of people working together, and we've had a great team working on this. So I think, you know, as I said, a lot more complicated than the average homeowner would have. Hopefully they can just contact their utility and find out what incentives are available and get a list of installers and proceed. So, but if we can do it on the White House, other folks can do it, and it'll be a lot easier.
You mentioned yesterday as well the fact that the White House is doing several other things, such as greening the cafeteria, so there's no styrofoam and compostable materials for use for forks and knives and things like that. What's the impact of that so far? What are the other things that the White House is considering just internally to become more energy efficient?
Well, I think think for the White House, it's a lot like this conference. I mean, you see employees in the White House complex asking and coming up with ideas about how we can run the complex in a greener way. So, for example, we just last week inaugurated one of the bike share stations on the campus itself within the White House complex, working with the District of Columbia in part of their bike share program. And that was really driven by people who work in the complex and said, you know, why do I have to catch a cab to go come over here to George Washington University? Why not make it easy for me to use a bike? And so a lot of it, I think, is driven by people, as we've seen in this conference, people coming up with ideas and then just trying to find where are the opportunities. For example, outside of the CEQ buildings on Lafayette Park, we put LED lights, and they're a personal favorite of mine. They are energy efficient, they give great light, and they're also not shining in my face when I walk out if it's dark out and I feel like I'm going to fall down the stairs. So, you know, those are innovations that sometimes we see, like the lights, sometimes we don't notice quite as much. For example, there are LED lights now in the press briefing room. So the quality of light is good, they save energy, and maybe it's invisible to folks who are in there every day, but it's a real improvement.
I got to ask the question. You just mentioned the bike share. Did you bike here to George Washington for the GreenGov Symposium today?
No, I walked.
Just as good then, right?
It's good. I actually, my commute, if I took the commuter survey we just heard about, would fill in that I walk to work, walk to and from work every day. So I no carbon footprint. It's good for my health. I don't add to congestion or air pollution here in the district. So I'm very happy to be a commute by feet.